Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's yesteryear. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of variety programs. Later on, the Rudy Valley Show from 1940. But first, it's Command Performance with an all-star cast, produced for our troops overseas via Armed Forces Radio during the Second World War. The program was heard in the summer of 1942, but was recorded on May 14th of that year.
Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world.
Command Performance!
Presented this week and every week, till it's over, over there. Get on the beam there, men. Here comes your personal radio show, Command Performance. Our opening letter is from Seaman First Class BRK. We made the call, and quicker than you could say Jack Robinson, we had your man, Edward G. Robinson.
Thank you, Paul Douglas, and greetings to Uncle Sam's fighting men, wherever they may be. Tonight's command performance gets underway with this letter from Corporal LJP and 17 privates in the United States Army somewhere in the Pacific.
Dear command performance, we don't mind it when the dames out here put on those shredded wheat skirts and make with the naval maneuvers, but whoever told them they know how to play a ukulele must have been slap happy. How about giving us Cliff Edwards, the original ukulele Ike, with a couple of those old-timers we used to sing when we took our best gals canoeing?
Your wish is our command. Here he is, Cliff Edwards.
Why do I do just as you say? Why must I just give you your way? Why do I sigh? Why don't I try to forget? There must have been that something lovers call fate. Kept on saying I had to wait. I saw them all, just couldn't fall till we met.
It had to be you. It had to be you.
I wandered around, finally found somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, or even be glad, just to be sad, thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. And nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you, had to be you. I'm paddling, Madeline, home. Gee, when I'm paddling, Madeline, home. First I drift with the tide, then pull for the shore. I hug her and kiss her, then paddle some more. I just keep paddling, Madeline, home. Until I find a spot where we're alone. Oh, if she'd only say, throw those paddles away while I'm paddling, Madeline. Sweet, sweet Madeline, paddling Madeline home. I just keep paddling Madeline home until I find a spot where we're alone. Then it's back up the creek with a creak in my back, all caused from paddling Madeline. Sweet, sweet Madeline, paddling Madeline home.
Thank you, Cliff Edwards. Now, by popular command, the return engagement of the former light heavyweight champion and present clown prince of the boxing profession, Slapsy Maxy Rosenblum.
Oh, no, it isn't the breeze. It's rose and blue.
Thank you, Edward G. Robinson. And thanks to the many soldiers and sailors whom have wrote me. Whom? That's a word I picked up when I fought Gene Tunney. And then later they picked me up. Well, the biggest sporting news here in America this past week was the running of the Kentucky Derby. I went to Louisville for the race. Boy, what a crowd. I didn't get in until after the race was over. Neither did the horse I bet on. 2 hours after the track closed, my horse came running up all out of breath and said, "Which way did they go?" Well, this week a lot of the colleges announced they were doing away with spring training for football. Now, when I went to college, I... Lady, that was a very dirty laugh.
Now, when I went to college... Max, isn't this carrying things a little too far, claiming you went to college?
But I did, Mr. Douglas, I did.
What was the name of the college?
Subnormal state.
Why didn't you go to a big college like me?
Huh?
I say, why didn't you go to a big college like me?
Why didn't you go to college?
Penn State.
What a coincidence.
Don't tell me you also went to Penn State.
No, State Penn.
I did.
But I played football at Subnormal State.
On the freshman team?
No, I was never a freshman. I was so smart, I skipped the freshman class and became a semi-four.
Why don't you admit it, Rosenblum? You never went to college.
Oh, no? You want to see my maternity pin?
You mean fraternity pin. I happen to belong to a frat myself. In fact, I'm president of my frat.
Oh, you're a frathead.
Well, all right. I lost my place. If you really went to college, tell me this. What did you study?
Oh, I studied morology.
Morology?
Trigonometry.
Trigonometry?
Suppositoryology. That's a horology. Bicycleology.
Oh, really? Did you take physics?
No, that makes me weak.
Makes you weak. Well, champ, that's about enough sport news for tonight. You be a nice little boy and go up to my dressing room, and after the show, I'll bring you up some C-A-N-D-Y.
He's such a dope. He knows I don't smoke. Bye.
Well, thanks a lot, Maxie. Our next letter is picked out from a truckload of mail from the four corners of the earth, and it says this. Dear Command Performance, you can't imagine how much it means to us soldiers to have our requests granted and heard all over the world. My own request is to hear the greatest blues singer in the country, Miss Jenny Sims. I'd like to hear her do a number and dedicate it especially to AOS, also down here in Panama. Signed, BNP. Well, BNP, for you and the host of other fighting men who have placed the request, I give you Jenny Sims.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. And thanks to the boys for inviting me here for a return engagement. I want you to know I'll be happy to come back just as often as you want me back, between now and the time that you come back. Here's your song, Somebody Loves Me. Somebody loves me.
Now for Corporal CLB, who hears command performance at 5:30 p.m. Sundays, that's Iceland time, we're happy to present Park Your Carcass. Parky, we're glad to see you, but what are you doing in that soldier's uniform? I didn't know you were in the Army.
Oh, sure. How do you like that uniform?
Well, it fits you a little too soon, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't they have one your size?
Well, you can laugh the way this uniform fits if you want, but I'm happy with I got anything to wear.
Well, what happened?
I'll tell you what happened. Last month, before I joined the Army, I was walking down the strip in my civilian clothes, minding my own business in my own repulsive way. When all of a sudden, a fellow walks up to me and says, "Say, don't you be Parky Carcass?" And I said, "Yes." He says I'll toss you for your shoes. He'll toss me for my shoes. Well, that sounded like a fair preposition. After all, he had as much sense to lose what I had, so I tossed him. So I'm walking around barefoot. So I'm walking down the strip, and a little kid comes up to me. His kid says, say, don't you be Parky Kakis? I said, yeah. He says, I'll hold your overcoat for a dime. I said, what do I need you to hold my overcoat? He says, well, it's hot, ain't it? Well, it was a little warm. So I give him my coat. He says, where's the dime? Well, I didn't happen to have a dime. He says, you don't expect me to trust strangers, do you? I says, no, that sounded reasonable. So he says, all right, I'll hold your coat for a deposit. So I'm walking down the street barefooted and no coat. And I'm passing by a clothing store, and a fella standing outside, he says, say, don't you be Parky Kakis? And I said, yes. He says, I got it all ready for you. I says, you got what all ready for me? He said, that suit, what you're going to buy. I says, I don't want a suit, and besides, I don't got no money. He says, all right, in that case, I'll buy your suit. He says, how much you want for it? I said, how could I sell this suit? It's the only suit I got. He says, listen, every man's got his price, ain't he? Well, that sounded like good common sense. So I says, well, I suppose he has. He says, all right, how much you think with that suit what you got on is worth? Well, I look at my suit. It's kind of an old suit. I says, I don't know, maybe $10. He says, so. Well, what could I do? A sale is a sale. So I took off my suit and I give it to him. But he's don't give me the money. I says, hey, where's the $10? He says, what do you mean, where's the $10? Where you gonna put $10? You don't got no pockets. I says, what do you want me to do? He says, come back when you have pockets. Well, the man was right. Wouldn't I look silly walking down the street in my underwear carrying $10 in my hand? So I'm walking down the street, no shoes, no coat, no suit. And all the people are staring on me. You think they've never seen a fella wearing glasses before? Well, it was late in the afternoon. It started to get a little bit chilly. The breeze was hitting me right between Sunset and Santa Monica. Just then, I happened to pass an army recruiting office. So I figured I could join the army, and at the same time, I'll get some clothes to wear. That's how I got in the army, but it's wonderful, and I love it. Yes, sir, the last 3 weeks has been the most wonderful 7 years I've spent in my life. And am I lucky, because in my company, we happen to have the most important man in the whole world. My top sergeant. The first day I got into camp, you know, I wanted to talk to him. I like to be sociable to everybody, including human beings. I went right up to this fellow. I says, good morning, sergeant. He says, don't talk to me because I don't speak to anybody less than a sergeant, lower than a sergeant. I said to him, what is lower than a sergeant? Well, we both had a good laugh over that one. 10 days later, when I got out of the bridge, they gave me a follow, and that's how I happened to come to Hollywood. And Mr. Robinson?
Yes, Parky?
I just want to tell you that I think that Hollywood is a wonderful place.
Well, I'm glad you like it, Parky.
Yes, sir. The people here, they're so congenial. They're so fair-minded. Well, you know, just this morning, I was walking down the street, and a total stranger came over to me, put his arm around me, and says, don't you be Parky Kakis? I said, yes. He said, I'll toss you for your shoes. Can you imagine a guy trying to pull that old gag on me?
Well, what happened?
Could you let me take a pair of sneakers till Friday?
Thank you, Parky Kakis. And now, in response to requests from practically every place American fighting men are quartered, America's number one dance orchestra, Glenn Miller.
Thank you, Edward G. Robinson, and hello to the Army, Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard. We're going to play the number most of you have requested, A String of Pearls. Thank you.
Glenn Miller and Company. And now, in response to your many commands, most notably the petition with 27 names on it from that air base in the very far north, the popular star of stage, screen, and radio, Milton Berle.
Thank you. Thank you, Eddie Robinson, and hello, everybody. I'm very, very glad to be here. I just came back from doing a show for the boys at the Marine Base in San Diego. I flew up here in 10 minutes. Had an upper berth on Superman. I had a wonderful time down there, and believe me, it was thrilling. Really, the respect I got from those Marines, they all saluted me. Hey, come to think of it, they didn't have their thumbs in the right places. I love the way those Marines talk. You know, I stayed overnight at the camp, so I wanted to show the boys that I was one of the boys, you know, the Marines. So I said, where'll I park the body, buddy? He said to another guy, hey, Jeep, where does this creep sleep? The other one said, put that punk in a bunk. And during the show, I did a few songs, and after I finished, the general told me they wanted to use my voice in the war. What's a secret weapon? Say, Eddie.
Yes, Milton.
Eddie, listen, you ought to take a little visit and get acquainted with the boys down there in San Diego. They were telling me how much they like your work in pictures. Mm. They like those tough guy gangsters that you portray.
Well, thank you, Milton.
You know, Eddie, I'm making a picture myself now. I'm doing one of those parts. I play a rat.
Oh.
And believe me, I'm so believable already, I've had 4 offers from the Japanese government. By the way, Eddie, you noticed how excited I am tonight?
Yes. I was going to ask you about it.
Well, there's a special reason, and I want you to help me out. You see, well, you know who's going to be here tonight, don't you?
No.
The most glamorous star in Hollywood.
You mean Edna Mae Oliver?
Yeah, no. Hedy Lamarr.
Hedy Lamarr?
Yeah,
Lamarr.
Don't get excited. You're not kidding. She's beautiful. Every time I look at her, the lump in my throat gets a lump in his throat. No kidding. Eddie, you got to do me a favor. I want to impress Hedy in the worst way.
Well, Milton, if you impress her at all, that's the way it'll be.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere.
Yeah. Well, will you do something for me?
What do you want me to do?
Eddie, well, she needs a new leading man.
Yeah.
She needs a new... So she's going to give me a chance to do a love scene with her. But I want to show her that I'm the brave type. Mm-hmm. So while I'm making love to Hedy Lamarr, I want you to come in and pose as a tough gangster. You know, that Little Caesar stuff?
Well, if I
you
can
and
remember
I,
it.
You,
yeah.
you remember it. Uh-huh. You and I, we'll have a fight. Yeah. I'll knock you down and I'll capture you. See that I'm all set.
All right, Milton. Anything for a pal. I'll do it.
Okay, here she is now. All right, get going. Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce the very glamorous star of MGM Pictures, Hedy Lamarr. Hello, Hedy. How are you?
Hello, Milton.
You know, I'm so glad that you're here with us tonight. I think you're so beautiful, so charming, and your perfume smells so nice.
Isn't it funny how opposites attract opposites?
Are you kidding, Hedy? After all, I'm Milton Berle.
Shouldn't happen to a dog.
Yeah, well, I've had plenty of women crazy about me. I've had them throw money at my feet, throw jewels at my feet, throw their hearts at my feet.
What have your feet got that you haven't got?
Well, I still think that I make a great leading man for your pictures. I feel that I'm just the type that you've always needed.
Well, I don't know about that, Milton. I like the strong, heroic type of men.
Strong, heroic type of men? Well, I'm strong. I've got muscles in my arms that stick out like eggs.
Well, don't get too warm or they'll hatch.
Oh, yeah? Well, they don't call me Hercules. I mean Hercules Burrow. For nothing.
I'm only kidding, Milton. Let's go. Let's rehearse our love scene.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. A love scene with you, Hedy. Before we start, I want to ask you a favor.
What's that?
Has anyone got a vitamin tablet?
Milton, don't tell me you're shy.
No.
You know, I've heard a lot about Berle the lover.
Oh, you have?
Yes. And it's too bad you weren't there to defend yourself.
Yeah, well, I'll show you. Come on, let's do that love scene. Come on, huh?
All right, Milton. Now, it's all very simple. All you have to do is keep your mind on your lines.
It's going to be awfully tough.
Why?
Can't keep my mind on my lines and have my eyes on yours at the same time.
Don't be silly, Milton. Now, just put your arms around me and hold me close to you.
Now.
Now, come on, Milton.
No, I don't want to.
All right, then. Just whisper sweet nothings into my ear.
Okay. Hedy, look at me. Look at me and tell me the 3 words that will send me to heaven.
Stick them up.
Not now, Eddie, not now. Oh, my darling, you know what I want to hear you say.
Stick him up.
Robinson, please.
Stick him up or I quit.
Milton, Milton, I think this gentleman wants to talk to you.
Yeah, well, he does want to speak to me. I'll talk to him. What do you want?
Well, this is a holdup, bud.
Oh, yeah? Are you Jesse James, the gang leader?
Well, I ain't Harry James, the band leader.
Oh, Eddie, will you cut it out? You're overdoing it. Fear not, Eddie. Fear not. I will protect you with my life.
I'd feel safer with something more substantial.
Now, I can the chatter, chick.
No, just a minute. Just a minute. You cad. You bounder. You can't talk to this lady like that.
Get over in that corner, will you? I'll slug you.
Oh, yeah? Well, I dare you. I just dare you. Me and my big mouth. You just wait till I get off this floor. There, I'm up. You just wait till I get off this floor. There, I'm up.
Boys, are you fighting over me?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. I just want to...
Now listen, tough guy, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Take this. Take this. Now give me that one back and take this one instead.
Oh. Milton, look what you've done.
Oh, it's nothing at all, Hetty. I let him have it, didn't I?
I'll say you did, you brute.
Brute?
Yes. Shame on you hitting a poor burglar only at one hand to defend himself.
What do you mean, one hand?
Well, he had to use the other hand to hold that great big gun.
Where am I? Where am I?
Right here in my arms, darling.
Oh, sister. If Humphrey Bogart could only see me now.
Come, Eddie, let's go. Oh, you're so masterful.
Now, wait a minute, Eddie. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you knew this was Robinson all the time?
Certainly. That outfit he's wearing didn't fool me. Come on, Eddie, darling.
But Hetty, what about our love scene?
I'll take care of that.
But, Hetty, how can you leave me for this guy?
Because you're a coward.
Coward?
Yes. The minute Eddie put up his hands, you lay down on the floor.
Well, why didn't he come down to the floor and fight like a man?
Well, so long, sucker. Come on, Hetty. Let's go to the Trocadero.
He's taking her to the Trocadero. He thinks he's putting one over on me. The Trocadero is closed. They'll be all alone. What am I saying?
Well, men, that just about completes another salute from Hollywood. Not from Warner Brothers, MGM, or RKO, but from AEF, the American Entertainment Front, proud to obey the commands of the world's finest fighting machine. Back here, where we shoot pictures, we haven't lost sight of the fact that you boys out there are doing some mighty important shooting of your own. When it's over, history will call the epic you're producing the Freedom of Humanity. Up in the beginning of it, some bad actors came in and stole a couple of scenes. But there's one thing those Japs can rely on. Come hell or high water, we'll be back for retakes. This is Edward G. Robinson saying goodnight from Hollywood, where we gave the world its first double feature, and where we're pulling for you to knock off three dictators and give the world its first triple feature.
Command Performance, on Tuned to Yesterday, from May 14th, 1942, from the Armed Forces Radio Service. Edward G. Robinson, Master of Ceremonies for that broadcast, from the same year he was in two motion pictures as Pressure Maxwell and Larceny Incorporated, alongside Jack Carson, Roderick Crawford, and Jane Wyman, and in the all-star motion picture Tales of Manhattan, where he shared the screen with Charles Boyer, Rita Hayworth, Ginger Rogers, Henry Fonda, Charles Laughton, Paul Robeson, even Eddie Rochester Anderson from The Jack Benny Show. This is an hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the Rudy Valley program, heard on NBC the day after Christmas, 1940.
Test System of Laboratory Protection presents Rudy Valley with John Barrymore, Billy Burke, Siegfried Gury, and Sam Hearn.
Your time is my time.
There's no time like our time, and no one like you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rudy Valley welcoming you to another SEAL Test program. We hope that you've had a Merry Christmas and that our program tonight will add to your holiday pleasure. To ensure this, we have with us once again the one and only John Barrymore, lovely Sigrid Gurry of the screen, and that grand artist, Miss Billy Burke.
Sounds like a big evening, Rudy.
Yes, John, and I have a real treat for you.
A treat? What is it?
Our entire story tonight takes place in a courtroom.
A treat, he says.
Yes, John, tonight, in a great trial to end all radio trials, you're going to be the prosecuting attorney, and you prosecute the lovely movie star, Sigrid Gurry, for murder.
Murder? Who did she murder?
A singing cowboy star.
Since when was that murder?
I'll defend Miss Gurry, John, and we'll plead our respective cases before a jury composed of 11 men and Miss Billy Burke.
Stop! Miss Burke. A woman on the jury, valet. I've as good as won the case. Women are putty in me hands. When I start out to win over a woman, I am convincing. Very convincing. A little too convincing.
Now, the facts are these, John. Sigrid Gurry was starring in a Western picture called Under Montana, Wyoming, Utah, Idaho, and Arizona Skies. The scene called for her to fire a blank at the singing cowboy. But someone took the blank out of the gun and put in a real bullet.
You mean...
Yes. Tex Tremolo, the two-gun troubadour, will troub no more.
Well, as the DA, I intend to prosecute her to the full extent of the law.
But she's innocent, John. She's as innocent as you are.
She'll hang.
She's innocent, and I will defend her.
She's guilty, and I will prosecute her.
She's innocent.
She's guilty.
She's innocent. Little noise.
Order in the court. Order in the court. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This honorable court is now in session. The case of the People versus Sigrid Gurry. His Honor Judge Gavelknocker presiding.
Here comes the judge. Noble just and wise. His Honor the judge. Everybody rise.
I am the judge. I am the judge. Regal in my legal silken gown.
Silken gown.
Every barrister and bailiff quakes and shakes and turns quite pale. I so much as crease my forehead in a frown.
In a frown.
I learn my jurisprudence as the brightest of the students when Blackstone himself was the dean.
Was the dean.
Though I studied like a drudge, I really learned to be a judge by watching Andy Hardy's father on the screen.
Order in the court. Order in the court. His Honor, the judge, has spoken.
I am the defendant on trial for my life. My name is Sigrid Gurry. I'll cross my fingers to win me luck and my knees to win the jury.
My knees.
She'll cross her knees, the judge's knees, and that will please the jury.
I'm Barry Maher, the district attorney. Me name and me fame have spread far. Though I've practiced law for years, you won't believe your ears when I tell you that I've never passed the bar. Many crooks have been hung by me eloquent tongue. I'm Svengali and Blackstone Mix. At the last case I tried, the spectators cried. And I have the jury transfixed. Or was it just fixed?
I am Valley, defense attorney, adept at pleas and writs. I'm the vagabond lawyer from Maine, the New England Sam Leibowitz. I'm a member of the law firm of O'Brien, McGregor, O'Malley, O'Flaherty, Jones, Bushell and Brown, Moskowitz, Nussbaum and Valley.
Is the jury ready to hear the case?
Yes, we are the jury, an honest even dozen. Into the evidence we'll delve.
Jurors 1,
2,
3,
4,
5,
6,
7,
8, 9,
11.
11?
11?
11? Where's the 12th juror?
May it please the court, the 12th juror is Miss Billy Burke, and she's not here yet.
Court will recess until the 12th juror, Miss Billy Burke, is found and brought into court.
Oh, Rudy, I'm so frightened.
Don't worry, Sigrid.
Oh, but will they convict me? Tell me, what are my chances?
From a legal point of view, I'd say that it's a simple prima facie case of homicide per se, wherein the defendant's malfeasance is res ipsa loquitur, in other words, a priori.
Oh, but what does that mean for me?
Visiting hours 6 to 8 on Sunday.
Oh, Rudy, I'm scared.
Now, Sigrid, darling, you've nothing to worry about. You have defending you O'Brien, McGregor, O'Malley, O'Flaherty, Jones, Bushell, Brown, Moskowitz, Nussbaum, and Valley. Mr. Barrymore will be terrified when he sees 20 of us against him.
20? But I only see 10.
Well, I'm talking about Mr. Barrymore.
But Mr. Barrymore seems to have so much influence. Look, he's going to talk to the judge. Do you think we'll get a fair trial?
Certainly. The judge is completely impartial. We'll get a fair trial, all right.
Hello, Judge. How's the boy?
Hello, John. How's my old fraternity brother? By the way, thanks for that little Christmas present you sent me yesterday, John. How did you know that I wanted a 16-cylinder sedan?
Oh, nothing at all, Judge. Nothing at all. Maybe you can do something for me someday. Say today.
Well, good luck, John. Hope you win the case. I'm pulling for you.
You see, Sigrid, we've got a fair trial. I'll see you through this thing.
Oh, Rudy, you've been so sweet. I couldn't go through all this if it weren't for you.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Here I go again. I hear those trumpets blow again. All aglow again. Taking a chance on love. Here I slide again. About to take that ride again. Starry-eyed again. Taking a chance on love. Thoughts that cards were a frame-up that I never would try. But now I'm taking the game up, and the ace of hearts is high. Things are mending now. I see a rainbow blending now. We'll have our happy ending now. Taking a chance on love.
Oh, here I am. Hello, hello, hello.
Order in the court. Who are you?
I'm Billy Burke, the 12th juror. I hope you didn't start without me.
Madam, it's impossible to start without you. You're the foreman of the jury.
The foreman? Oh, but they look honest men. I'm sure they'd work without me standing over them. After all, I don't want to be a Simon Legree or Mother McCree or whatever it is.
Miss Burke, your jury notice was mailed to you 5 days ago. Why didn't you answer it then?
Oh, well, I didn't think you'd want me to open it before Christmas.
There's no time for levity, madam. If you're to be a juror, the attorneys must question you. This is Mr. Valley, attorney for the defense.
Oh. How do you do, Miss Burke?
Do?
And this is Mr. Barrymore.
How do you do?
Oh, he's guilty. I can see it on his face. He's
guilty! Oh, excuse me. I'll cut on to one of you guilty. Do it again.
Oh, he's guilty. I can see it in his face. He's guilty.
Guilty, madam. I am the prosecuting attorney.
Well, I don't care. You look like a shifty character.
Madam, you're here to listen, not to talk. You think Mr. Barrymore looks like a shifty character? Keep it to yourself, like the rest of us. Now, this trial has been delayed long enough by you, Miss Burke.
Oh, Judge, don't be an old grouchy pants. You're just colored.
Miss Burke, I've never been called that before, and I've been sitting on this bench for 20 years.
Well, there, that proves it.
Miss Burke, I'm sorry our meeting got off on a note of friction, but you see, this trial means a lot to my political career. If I win this case, I may be the next governor, or perhaps senator, or maybe even the president.
Oh, President, how thrilling. I can just see you at the White House, Mr. Barrymore. Coming home Easter morn and rolling down the lawn with the rest of the eggs.
I had to open my big mouth.
Well, Mr. Barrymore, I'd better get up there in the jury box and start testifying or falsifying or whatever it is I do.
Then I can count on you to vote for conviction?
Well, I don't know. The last time I was on a jury, I decided by saying, eeny, meeny, miny.
What happened to Mo?
Oh, he got 30 days.
Miss Burke. You are not exactly a screwball, but the difference isn't worth quibbling about.
Counsel's remark was out of order, but you ain't kidding. Miss Burke, prosecuting this case isn't an easy task, and I must ask you to cooperate with Mr. Barrymore. Not an easy job, being a prosecutor.
Oh, I realize what Mr. Barrymore's going through. It must be very difficult doing all these things he has to do. Good heavens, it would be a terrific strain, even for a normal man.
Miss Burke, you insult my intelligence. You talk as if I've never been in the court of law before.
Well, have you?
My dear lady, if law courts were cabbage patches, I'd be Mrs. Wiggs.
Miss Burke, at this time, it's my duty to inform you that as a jurywoman, your pay will be $3 a day.
$3? Well, that's ridiculous.
It's $3. Take it or leave it.
I'll leave it. Ask me the $6 question.
The law prescribes. The law prescribes $3.
Well, I'm not interested. You can just hire someone else. $3, indeed.
It's my further duty to inform you that as the only woman on the jury, you may have to be locked up in a room with those 11 men.
Let me look at them. Well, $3 will be perfectly satisfactory.
Then let's proceed with the trial. Is the jury ready?
We're ready, you can trust us, to try this case with justice, and all of our prejudices will tell. Jurors, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Bingo! I mean 12. As the foreman of the jury, Billy Byrne, my verdict will take lots of thought and work. Mr. Valley knows the score, but Mr. Barrymore has that come up sometime and see my law book smirk. Mr. Barrymore is good at courtroom hamming. I can hardly wait to see him cross-examine. Why, I've heard people say, since John has been Dean DA, crooks are going up the river. Or is that salmon?
Mr. Barrymore, continue your cross-examination.
Very well, Your Honor. But please, the court, I should like to call to the stand the man who directed the picture in which Miss Gurdy and Tex Tremolo, the singing cowboy, were playing. None other than that famous European director, Vorko Slobkovich.
Clerk, call Vorko Slobkovich.
Calling Vorko Slobkovich. Is Vorko Slobkovich in the court?
Hello, stranger.
Are you the Vorko Slobkovich?
What's the middle initial?
J.
That's me.
Mr. Slobkovich, you were on the set at the time of the shooting. Do you believe Miss Gurdy is innocent?
You want an answer, yes?
Yes.
No.
Slobkovich, you were an eyewitness. Tell me, who else was there at the time of the shooting?
Just we three.
Who's that?
My echo, my shadow, and me.
If you were the only witness, tell us in your own words exactly what happened.
It's very, very simple. You see, she was standing there. The cowboy came up riding on his horse, singing Silver on the Sage, and she shot him.
Where?
Right between the Silver and the Sage.
That's all, valet. Your witness.
Vorko Slobkovich, is it true that you are the director of this picture, the director of the greatest Western epics?
That's me. I'm the sagebrush. Cecil B. DeMille.
Can't you swim here?
No.
Too bad. What's the name of your studio?
20th Century Slobkovich. You know, if it's a Slobkovich picture, it speaks for itself. Of course, with a slight accent.
Slobkovich, you just stated that you saw the defendant, Sigurd Guri, shoot Tex Tremolo. Did you see her take the gun? Were the doors locked? Was the gun loaded? Did you see her do it? Who put the bullet in the gun?
Listen, Valley, please, don't make with me an Esket basket.
A woman is on trial for her life. Think carefully. One false word may send her to the chair. Are you sure she did it?
Sure. I'm as sure she did it as my name is,
Vorko Slobkovich?
What's the middle initial?
J.
She did it.
No more questions. Step down, Mr. Slobkovich.
Thank you. There's silver in the sage tonight. Give me my boots and samples.
Your Honor, if it pleases the court, I should like at this time to put on the witness stand the defendant herself, Miss Sigrid Guri.
Very well. Take the stand, Miss Guri.
Miss Guri, is it not true that with conniving tricks and feminine wiles, you led on the murdered man, the singing cowboy?
No, it's not true.
Ah, but it is true. Just as it's true that with the same feminine tricks, you are now leading on your own attorney, Rudy Valley.
No, that's not true. Why, Rudy took me out 7 times before I even let him kiss me.
I object.
If I couldn't do any better than that, I'd object myself.
Barrymore, I warn you to refrain from humiliating and intimidating Miss Gurdy. Don't forget, sir, she happens to be the woman I love.
Sounds a little familiar. I better wait for that laugh. Sounds a little familiar. Miss Gurdy, the scales of justice must balance. Before the old year is out, you will have been tried, convicted, and sentenced. New Year's Day will find you on your way to the big house.
But suppose I'm set free.
And what are you doing New Year's Eve?
Mr. Barrymore, I'm not doing anything New Year's Eve.
And that's how it's going to be.
Mr. Barrymore, proceed with the case.
Very well, Your Honor. In regards to the motive for this crime, I should like to cite the case of the State versus Krotchmeyer, in which the defendant, one Basil Krotchmeyer, disguised himself as a woman and spent 3 years as a chambermaid in a sorority house.
What has that got to do with this case?
Nothing. But it made delightful reading. Now, if it pleases the court, I shall endeavor to prove that Miss Gurry had a criminal motive when she...
Oh, Mr. Barrymore.
I shall endeavor to prove that Miss Gurry had a criminal motive when she...
Oh, Mr. Barrymore.
What is it, Miss Burke?
I don't understand these legal terms very well. Just what is a motive?
Well, Miss Burke, I'll explain it to you this way. Suppose Rudy Valley is making love to you.
Yes, yes. Go on.
Now, let's put it another way. Suppose I'm making love to you.
Well, I like it better the first way.
Look, Miss Burke, a motive is the inducement to act. That's the first thing you learn in law school.
Well, would you mind explaining it to me?
Very well. Motive. Suppose I'm driving down Hollywood Boulevard on my way home with nothing to do, when suddenly I see a beautiful blonde walking in the opposite direction, so I turn my car around and honk my horn. You see? Now I got a motive.
For that you had to go to school?
Yep. Enough of this foolishness. Mr. Valley, Mr. Barrymore, prepare your final pleas to the jury. Mm-hmm. Court is recessed.
The boys will go to work on Foreman Billy Burke, and that will be the real test. But first we take a journey to your neighborhood attorney, who will please the case of sales test.
Court will now come to order. We shall now hear the final pleas and summation in the case of the State versus Sigrid Gurry. First, we shall hear from the prosecuting attorney, Mr. John Barrymore.
Thank you. Your Honor, gentlemen of the jury, I will prove that the defendant is guilty. There she sits, gentlemen, Sigrid Gurry. Look at her, gentlemen. Just look at her. Gentlemen, permit me a few heartfelt words about the victim, Tex Tremolo, the two-gun troubadour. You may ask, who was this Tex Tremolo? I'll tell you. He was a cowboy. A poor, hard-working cowboy. Just struggling along, trying to make both knees meet. Gentlemen of the jury, he was a family man, even as you and I. He was a hard-working citizen, even as you and I. He was a man who went through life without making trouble for anybody.
And that's where the similarity ends.
Yes, Tex was just a poor singing cowboy struggling along on $12,000 a week. Yes, Tex Tremolo made a measly 12 grand a week. And it should happen to me, but I ask you, with it all, was Tex a wastrel, a spendthrift? Did he live in a 75-room house with 8 swimming pools?
Yes.
All right, he liked to swim. And furthermore, gentlemen of the jury...
Mr. Barrymore, I don't understand. I'm on the jury. Why do you keep referring to us as gentlemen?
My dear Miss Burke, that's just a figure of speech.
A figure of speech?
Yes, like Lana Turner. Or is that just a figure?
Oh, yes, Lana Turner. Just a figure. And it should happen to me.
And my dear Miss Burke, though I refer to the jury as gentlemen, don't think I've overlooked you. The radiant you, sitting there with those 11 men, those 11 anemic, washed-out looking men.
Yes, I rather felt like I was sitting on the bench with the UCLA football team.
Your Honor, I protest. Barrymore's influencing the jury and delaying the trial. Why doesn't he get to the point?
I'll get to the point, Valley, and I'll get to the point quickly. I'm a man of few words.
Yes, few words. Hiya, babe. I can get you in pictures and bring a friend for Valley.
Your Honor, I object.
Yes, and I object, too.
Miss Burke, why do you object?
Because I've been sitting in the jury box for 2 hours with those 11 men.
But they haven't annoyed you.
Why do you think I'm objecting?
Miss Burke, as far as the jury is concerned, may I point out that that is irrelevant, that is inconsequential, and that is immaterial.
Why, how do you do? I'm Billy Burke.
Your Honor, Your Honor.
What is it, Mr. Valley?
I would like to recall to the witness stand the director of the picture, Vorko Slobkovich. I have just been handed a letter which puts an entirely new complexion on the case.
Oh, that's splendid. I should like to know a little more about this Voko Slobkovich, if you'll pardon the expression.
Voko J. Slobkovich, I've just received a letter from a woman named Sonia J. Slobkovich. Do you happen to know a woman named Sonia J. Slobkovich?
Yes, and believe me.
What do you mean, yes, and believe me?
Yes, I do, and believe me, I wish I didn't.
Voko Slobkovich, this letter from Sonia contains one cryptic word, realism. Slobkovich, are you or aren't you the most realistic director in Hollywood?
Realistic? You should see my new picture, The Hunchback of Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Yeah, Notre Dame didn't do so good this year. Talk about realism. In the picture, I had to cast a female monster, a regular Mrs. Frankenstein. So who do I get for the part? My own wife, Sonia.
You cast your wife, Sonia, as a monster? Why, that's disgusting.
You should see Sonia. Boy, is that a realism?
And that, gentlemen, is the key to the crime, realism. You wanted a realistic shooting, so you took a real gun, and into it you put a real bullet. Voko Slobkovich, you, and you alone, are guilty of this crime.
All right, I admit it, but try and get me to confess.
Voko Slobkovich, on the evidence of your wife, Sonia, I find you guilty and hereby sentence you to the electric chair.
Judge, I'm going to sit in the electric chair?
Yes. Any last requests?
Just one. I want Sonia to sit on my lap.
Well, Mr. Barrymore, you lost the trial, but it's been such fun. Now tell me, is there anything else I can do for you?
Yes, just one thing.
What's that?
Sit on Sonia's lap.
Oh, Rudy. Rudy, you saved my life. Tell me, is there anything I can do for you?
Yes, just one thing.
What's that?
You can sit on my lap.
Case is dismissed.
Case is dismissed. It's a cinch for the firm of O'Brien, McGregor, O'Malley, O'Flaherty, Jones, Bushell, Brown, Moskowitz, Nussbaum, and Valley.
Case is dismissed. Good heavens, aren't you going to lock me up with those 11 men?
Miss Burke, there's no necessity to lock you up with those 11 men. The case is over. What is there for them to do?
Oh, just lock me up with them. I'll think of something.
Wrong lyric. Hold it. Should have been quarters adjourned. Change of cases dismissed, is it?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you tell us about the change? John didn't know. All right.
Okay. Do it again.
Is dismissed.
So the great profile's been outsmarted. The vagabond lawyer's day. John, you can't win in a courtroom. Though it's only a radio play.
Thank you for saving my life. From now on, you have my devotion.
I'm planning to make you my wife. And this case will bring me a promotion.
Promotion?
Yes. From now on, my law firm will be O'Brien, McGregor, O'Malley, O'Flaherty, Jones, Bushell, Brown, Moskowitz, Valley, and Nussbaum. May have had a few laughs at the expense of the legal profession tonight. This is something very apropos. We needed it. But we know that our American jurists have taken it in the spirit of good fun. At least we hope they have. After all, laughter is the only part that's only possible in a country made secure and happy by the judicious administration of its laws. For this, we owe our thanks to the American lawyer. Next Thursday, John and I will be back with a special New Year's show. Until then, this is Rudy Valley reminding you to look for the red and white seal test symbol when you buy milk, ice cream, and other dairy products. Au revoir and good night.
Seal Test Incorporated and its member companies are subsidiaries of the National Dairy Products Corporation.
The Rudy Valley Show on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 26th of December 1940 on NBC. And so closes this hour of variety on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.